you didn't have the patience to listen to what I had to say.
I am not at the point that you are at. I still get frustrated and impatient.
Just expanding on what you just started with and helping listeners understand what are the areas that we tend to be impatient and why.
You can't study for that like, you know, a Scantron test where you've got A, B, C, D, E bubbles to fill in.
All of a sudden, it kind of ruins at least part of your day. Don't do that to yourself. I just kept thinking of so many times in my life when I've not been patient, and it's just very convicting.
Regardless of what industry you're in, what level of leadership you're at, you are going to have challenges. Like, that is, at the end of the day, like death and taxes, I think that's the one thing that we can promise you.
I'm Isaiah Custer, and you're listening to a freshly brewed episode of the First Cup of Joe show, where we explore leadership principles that are tested and proven, uncover the obvious but not practiced, and use our experiences to lay the foundation for you to be an effective leader. Presented by Level Up Courses, a leadership development company with over 40 years of experience that's built to rid the world of toxic leaders.
I am not always patient, even though the little saying, patience is a virtue, has been literally drilled into my head since I think I was about 3 years old. Is that true?
I think you're right.
Patience is one of those personal characteristics that change with the drop of a hat, the changing of the wind, or an untimely car switching lanes right in front of you. And yet, it's one of the greatest tools a leader can keep in their toolbox. It's the night and day difference between an unmotivated, poorly performing team and a successful, highly engaged team. But how can a leader improve their patience? Dad, we are here today to talk about patience.
Yeah, what a topic. You know, it's very convicting when we've talked about doing a show based on patience. I felt very convicted.
Why were you convicted?
Oh, as I was thinking through, you know, what leaders need to do and should do around being patient, I just kept thinking of so many times in my life when I've not been patient, and it's just very convicting.
Is there a moment that you're specifically thinking of?
Well, probably the number one thing that comes to mind for me is driving. I tend to be a pretty impatient driver.
Yes, you are.
And that area of patience is just one of the biggest challenges for me. And in fact, you know, I used to lead a group of kids at our church. You know, we talk about different topics, and one of the things we talked about was patience. And I would do object lessons with them just to try to help them remember what we had talked about. And the object I used when we talked about patience was a little toy car. I shared with them, you know, this is my area where I struggle with patience. And I had kids come up to me several years after we started talking about that. And they remembered that I wasn't a patient driver. And it was really, convicting. And yet, one of the things we'll probably end up talking about at some point here in the podcast, that was a good step for me to take, at least as a leader of that kids group, but I think a good step for leaders to take in whatever area they find that they're not patient in, and it is acknowledging to yourself that this is where I struggle when it comes to patience. And it really helped me focus on, okay, when you stand in front of a bunch of little kids and you got to admit this, and they're, you know, they come up to you later, it's like, oh, you're not patient when you drive. it really made me start to think about those times when I was in the car and I'd feel myself getting impatient, and then really challenge me to say, why are you getting so impatient? That's my example. And I think I improved. I think I still struggle with it.
Right. People are always going to make dumb choices when they're driving.
Yeah, they will. And then, you know, I think more recently, one of the things that really struck me is you think of yourself and you think, okay, here's the experience I have doing this task. I've done it forever and ever and ever. I think I'm pretty good at it. And you encounter other people where clearly they're not as experienced and not as good at it as you. And it's just like, oh, why don't you figure it out?
Yeah.
And one of the things that really struck me is we have had the opportunity to work with a young couple who's immigrating to the United States. They'd never driven before. They came here, Isaiah. One of the things we've been working on is helping them to get their driver's license and to teach an adult how to drive. And it's just been further convicting to me doing that, because I don't want to be impatient with them as they learn how to drive. I want to teach them well so they become good drivers, but they just don't have 40 years of experience. And so when we're driving under the speed limit, because that's just the way it is, and there's five cars behind us, I'm thinking, okay, I used to be one of those five cars behind, probably swearing under my breath, saying, why don't you get going?
Under your breath? You're not screaming it out loud?
Well, maybe. That's been an additional good reminder and lesson for me around the importance of patience is you don't necessarily know what someone else's situation is. We tend to assume that it's the same as our own, but likely it's not. And I actually passed a guy yesterday that was going slower than I would have preferred.
Mm-hmm.
And I just glanced over at him, don't know anything about him, but looked at the guy, and immediately, instead of saying something in my head bad about him and his slow driving, I now instead thought, he might just be learning how to drive. Or he might be a very new driver. Give him some grace and be patient. So that was kind of a little bit of a kickoff to me of how important this is when you start thinking about leaders.
You have to be so intentional about getting to that brain space, that thinking process.
Yes.
You already mentioned this, but it does really start with you having to recognize that you are the one that has the issue with it.
Exactly.
I similarly can get very frustrated in the car. I live in a different area of the country than you do. So what I am typically dealing with is people merging on an on-ramp.
Oh yeah.
But they'd never do it like at the speed limit of other people that are already on the road that we are merging onto.
Yes.
And oh boy, does that just raise the small hair on the back of my neck.
Yes.
I am not at the point that you are at. I still get frustrated and impatient.
Well, and I would say this, Isaiah. I think I still get frustrated and impatient as well. But I think that I've learned to, maybe a way to say it is I've learned to tell myself to knock it off.
Sure. In other words, you may have told yourself to quit it.
Exactly. Quit it. Just for instance, the person I talked about yesterday, I was behind him. We were on the freeway. He was driving under the speed limit. My tendency is like, oh, get going. You know, why don't you drive the speed limit? And yet I wasn't in a hurry to get anywhere. I had nowhere I needed to specifically be at any time. And me going 5 miles under the speed limit for a couple miles made no difference in my day. But I think one of the things that can happen is if you allow that frustration of impatience get the better of you, all of a sudden, it kind of ruins at least part of your day. Don't do that to yourself.
Some of the other things that I wrote down were technology, which I know that you all are also sometimes impatient with.
Yeah, technology. We have an old desktop computer that we kind of use for everything. And probably instead of just replacing it and something faster and better, I just put up with it. It's like, this take forever for things to happen in there sometimes. So yes, slow computers.
I also can get impatient with people who don't get to the point.
Yep.
I don't need you to beat around the bush. I would just like you to tell me, is something going well? Is something not going well? What do you need from me?
Yeah.
And I think that is probably more arising lately out of me feeling like I don't have enough time to get the things done that are like on my to-do list.
Yeah.
So I start to feel impatient with other people. And that's not their fault. It really has nothing to do with them. It's all about me feeling like I can't manage my workload well.
Yeah. I think that's such a good point, because when you really think through this, it is your problem.
Yeah.
So I think a couple things I was hoping we could talk about on the podcast today were just expanding on what you just started with and helping listeners understand what are the areas that we tend to be impatient and why. And then more importantly, Isaiah, is how can we help listeners, leaders that are listening, how can we help them to learn to be more patient?
Well, let's get into it. What would you say is the first sort of area where people aren't patient?
You already mentioned one of the things that I had on my list, and I think it has to do with stress.
Mm.
That you describe, your job situation where you're in a stressful situation that you've got a lot of demands to perform. As soon as somebody else does something or something else happens that starts to impede your progress, like you said, that like you said about the people merging, that's when the hair starts standing up on the back of your neck, because you're growing frustrated that, hey, I got this thing to do. I've got a lot of pressure to get this, to meet this deadline. And now somebody does something that stands in the way of that happening. That to me is one of the things. I think it's stress, and it's probably related really close to a lot of leaders are in this position where they have this tremendous pressure to succeed. They're feeling it from above, from around them, that they have to meet or exceed high expectations. That can quickly lead us to impatience when you feel somebody else is preventing you from getting there. What things would come up on your list in addition to that on why we are impatient?
I'm relatively new to my leadership position, so I'm also still in a space where I know that I can get things done faster than other people, and that also causes me to be very impatient.
Sure.
And I know that that is a bad space to be in.
Right. Yes.
I'm never going to succeed in my new role, and the people who report to me are also never going to be successful if I continue to come into work and bring that sort of energy into our workplace culture every day. Like, that is just not healthy.
Yeah.
So I have been trying to really work towards letting go and realizing that my way isn't the only way. People are going to have to learn, and they have to develop those skills, and someday they will be at the same level that I am.
Yeah.
Or surpass me, but they just need time.
Maybe you mentioned this, but I think that to me falls into a category where you lack control.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be okay with letting things go, and you need to be okay with sometimes they don't go like you think they should or you want them to.
And it's so hard.
It is.
And it's one of those things that I don't think you can really prepare for it. You can't study for that like, a Scantron test where you've got A, B, C, D, E bubbles to fill in.
Right.
That's something that you just have to be in that leadership position, and you kind of just got to like slog through it.
Exactly. One of the other things I notice is our culture's gotten to be such that we just have increasingly high expectations that everything happens immediately.
Yeah.
You order something online, and when I was young, you ordered something, you put a letter in the mail to order it, and you waited weeks for the thing to show up. Today, it's, well, I ordered that 3 days ago. Why isn't that here yet? I think about entertainment, in the olden days, like, again, when I was young, there were three channels on the TV. And at midnight, they all went off the air.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and, that's wild.
And they come back on in the morning. And so if you turn it on in the middle of the night, there's like this TV test pattern. There was nothing being broadcast. And so think about that. You just want what you want. And you want it now. We're in a position where you can get that. You know, you want to watch a show at 3 a.m. You watch the show at 3 a.m. You want some food from somewhere. Well, you go online, you order it, and some guy on a bicycle delivers it to your apartment.
Yeah, very quickly oftentimes.
And very quickly, because I want it and I want it now. I think that contributes to our impatience because we just get conditioned to where whatever we want, typically we're able to get so quick and easy that when it doesn't happen that way, it's easy for us to become very impatient.
I have two things that I thought about for this specific idea. One is that part of my job is overseeing social media. If we don't hit a certain number of likes or comments or reshares on a social post within like an hour of it being posted, it can feel unsuccessful.
Yeah.
A looser patience related thing.
But that's that instant gratification that's affecting you.
Yeah.
Because you want it now.
Yeah.
That's certainly an area, something that influences all of us. A couple other things on reasons why I think that we're not patient. We can have this fear of missing out.
FOMO.
Yeah. If you think you're going to miss something, all of a sudden you're impatient. Probably ties back to the instant gratification. If I don't get this right now, I'm never going to get it. So you think about things that take a while. Like your example on putting out your social media post, you think, if I don't hit these targets in an hour, it failed. Maybe it's something that takes a longer amount of time. You know, there are things that do take a long time to really mature and develop. Think about somebody in sales going out meeting new prospects. Sometimes the relationship building takes a long time. And so we can get impatient, like, oh, I want this to move along faster. Because if it doesn't, maybe it just disappears on me altogether.
Which is scary, which probably leads to impatience.
It does. It leads to people being impatient because they're afraid the thing that they want is going to just evade their grasp forever. Probably kind of hit some of the high points, I think, on why we aren't patient. I think there's one last one that I'd add in there, and it really revolves around our personalities.
And that's a big one.
Yeah.
I think that maybe more than the others is truly what drives how people react to the world around them. And I say that because I think in previous episodes, we may have mentioned this, but when you are in situations that could cause you to be impatient,
yeah,
the only thing that you can really control in that situation is how you react. And how you react may be with impatience or with patience. But ultimately, that's a choice that you get to make.
Yeah, I used to work with a guy that really fell into this personality trait of impatience. And, you know, he was, if there was some kind of a, say it was some kind of an issue that needed to be resolved, at work, he was the kind of guy where, like every 5 minutes he wanted an update.
Oh, no.
Or every 15 minutes, I got an update. It's like, I haven't even had a chance to follow up on the thing you asked about 15 minutes ago yet. And you're already asking for another update. And I think a lot of that was just, that was his personality. And I actually, I worked with him and knew him really well. One of the times when we were in that situation that happened, I talked to him kind of after the situation was all done, sharing my frustration a little bit with his behavior. And his response was, that's just how I am.
That's just how I am, but I don't value the feedback you're giving me or how we interact with each other enough to make a change to how I am.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly where your mind goes. And it really lets us transition to the second part of what I really wanted to talk about on the podcast is, if we recognize that that's our personality, if we recognize that in certain situations we become impatient and it's detrimental to us or to others around us, what do we do to change that? This particular guy I knew, he knew it, but he didn't have any intention of changing it.
That's almost more frustrating than actually going through that whole situation.
It is. And so let's assume that most of the folks listening aren't like that. that if they recognize impatience in themselves or maybe with people around them, what can they do to get better?
I mean, really, I think you've already touched on this. The first thing that you can do is just be self-aware. Learn to spot that impatience when it is brewing up in yourself, whether that's based on the situation that you're in or the things that are going on around you. What tends to make you lose your patience?
Yeah, and I go back to one of the stories I started with about the guy that I was driving behind yesterday, and this is the perfect example for me, was I could feel myself starting to get impatient.
Mm-hmm.
I made the conscious decision to knock it off. I mean, just almost literally told myself, knock it off.
And it worked.
It really did. I passed him. I glanced over at him, not with like a look of contempt, but I looked over at him and I thought, I wonder what your situation is.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having that feeling of contempt like I would have when I would used to get so impatient, it was more a look of empathy. Like, huh, wonder what's going on with him. Is he a new driver? I don't know what's going on with him. I'm going to try to understand. I'm never going to meet the guy. I have no idea who it is. But at least in my head, I'm thinking, maybe there's a good reason why he's going that speed.
You approach the situation with curiosity rather than judgment. Because when you approach with curiosity, you're entering that situation with the possibility that something could go well.
Yeah.
And when you're entering it with judgment, you have already decided that the situation is going to go badly. Our Level Up method helps growing companies unlock 100% of their team's performance potential by creating a leadership culture that leaves every team member feeling engaged, excited, and encouraged to bring their A game. All while equipping your next generation of teams to increasingly exceed targets every quarter. Visit levelupcourses.co to learn more. That's levelupcourses.co. And now, back to the show. So we've got self-awareness. What's another way that we could train ourselves to learn to be more patient?
I think one that fits with a couple of the examples you brought up is setting realistic expectations for ourselves.
Ooh, yeah.
And for others.
Mm-hmm.
So you start to think about, are you setting realistic timelines to get things done? In your head, are you saying, do you catch yourself saying, you know, I got to get this done. My team needs to get this done by the end of the day. I mean, how many times have you seen emails from leaders where they say, I need such and such, and then it'll say EOD by the end of the day.
Uh-huh.
Is that realistic? And that's a driver of impatience. Like, okay, I have these setting these super high expectations that maybe aren't realistic. And now think what that does to your team if you're a leader and you do that. If it's especially unrealistic, they drop everything to get this thing done that you've now had this unrealistic expectation. So I think it's a challenge for us impatient leaders to make sure you think about realistic expectations. I think you can still have, Isaiah, it's not that you can't have high expectations.
Oh, I do.
But you have to think through whether they're realistic and how long is it really going to take somebody to get that task done.
I sent an email this week that had an EOD deadline in it.
And was it a realistic expectation? I would ask you that question.
I do think it was realistic.
Yeah.
And I had also included in the message, I know that you have other projects going on. Let me know if this fits into your schedule. And if not, let's reassess the priorities of the projects you have.
That's letting the team communicate back to you to say, hey, Isaiah, you're being unrealistic.
Yeah, which could totally have been possible.
You think about it, by you framing it that way, that you've given the people an out for their frustration with you.
Yeah, which I think leads directly into the next one that I would bring up, which is to develop empathy.
Yeah.
Putting yourself into someone else's shoes and considering their perspective and experience and what is going on with them in the current time.
Yeah, people work at different paces.
Yeah.
They have other things that have been priorities. Makes me kind of chuckle because I can just think back at times different people I've worked for over the years where it seemed like everything was a super high priority and everything was a fire drill.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, the environment of impatience by those leaders, it causes a lot of stress for the team.
Oh, incredible stress.
So understanding, like you're saying, walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. And that's why I'll keep coming back to this guy I passed yesterday because it was just so recent. I don't know what his shoes were like, but at least I asked myself the question, I wonder what his shoes are like.
I mean, they weren't lead shoes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's just that idea of thinking from that perspective of somebody else. You know, one of the things that I like to talk about with so many leadership principles is you can practice and get better. You know, kind of finding like with my driving, I think it's a lifelong project. And so I started thinking this when I passed that elderly driver that I used to want to shake my fist at. It's like, why don't you just go faster? And started having more empathy, thinking, boy, I can see myself there in, you know, hopefully another 10 or 20 years, but I'm starting to get to where it's like, I can see myself there. And I'm thinking, boy, I hope someone has patience with me when I'm that age.
I'm glad you've gone through this little personal growth experience.
Well, and I think, I mean, and I bring that up in that I think it is so important for leaders. If you find yourself being impatient, and I just would challenge everyone listening that there's some area where you're likely impatient.
I would be worried if there wasn't.
Exactly. That's why I think it's such an important topic is you can practice getting better, but it's going to take some work. It's going to take some practice.
Mm-hmm.
And developing empathy is certainly one of them.
Well, another thing that you can practice is some active listening.
Oh, yep. Definitely.
You can so greatly improve your communication skills just by actually listening to what other people are saying and also maybe what they're not saying.
And I think this ties in with your example where you're trying to set realistic expectations, and it definitely is part of empathy. If you're truly doing that, that really helps you be an empathetic listener as well.
If you're a leader who does not practice active listening, your direct reports know it and they talk about it, and it causes them great frustration because you are setting a bad communication example, and really you're eroding the trust that you have, if you've built it, between you and your team.
I don't think I've personally had something like this happen, but the thing that comes to mind is, you just imagine you're sitting in your office at your computer with your phone on your desk, and you have an employee come to you with some issue that they have. Maybe it's an issue in their personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want to talk to you. And while they're talking to you, you're looking at checking emails on your computer and your phone dings, and you're looking at your phone. What does that person feel like when they get up and leave?
Probably crappy.
Yeah. So here, I really wanted to share something with you. It's very clear that you didn't really care, that you weren't really listening. You didn't have the patience to listen to what I had to say. It really takes some effort to be an active listener. You in your office environment, there's a lot of distractions that want to pull you away from being a good listener. So you have to work hard to overcome those things. So when I think you can do things like if you're running on a laptop and somebody comes into your office and you know that you struggle with staying focused on that, maybe you take your laptop and you physically fold the thing shut.
Oh, yeah. Do it.
And that's a thing that you're mentally telling yourself, okay, I'm shutting this computer off because the person sitting across from my desk right now is my number one important thing, and I'm going to be patient to listen to what they have to say. That's a physical thing you can do. You start talking about, you know, we started with self-awareness and physically closing that laptop or turning your phone off is that thing, that self-awareness thing to you to say, okay, I'm tempted to be distracted and not listen and not be empathetic. And so I'm going to remove what's going to cause the distractions. That's a huge step towards self-awareness.
Well, that would be such a big leadership win.
Yeah, because then that, and you do it in front of the person. And so now they see, okay, laptop shut, phones off, I'm focused just on you. Huge leadership win.
So the next thing that I'm thinking of is building resilience, where
I love that.
Reframe your setbacks as opportunities for growth and learning, which is a really hard thing for leaders to do, I think. You can view your challenges as temporary obstacles rather than an insurmountable barrier, and then you can develop strategies to navigate adversity effectively.
Yep.
I think when you build resilience, what you're going to get out of that is the ability to maintain a perspective and see the goal that you want and persevere through the difficult circumstances that you're presented with. Because regardless of what industry you're in, what level of leadership you're at, you are going to have challenges. Like, that is, at the end of the day, like death and taxes, I think that's the one thing that we can promise you.
Well, yeah, and I think you go back to the list of things that we talked through on why we're not patient and resilience, and how what you're talking about in building resilience really addresses those things, you know, the pressure to succeed and high expectations that you're under, which really can lead to a lot of stress, leave you overwhelmed. Practicing resilience is going to help through all of those things. One of my favorite things to ask people when they're in stressful situations is, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Great question. Scary question.
And I would just tell you, most of the time, I ask myself the same thing, because I think it's a good resilience building technique. It's like, okay, I'm in this sticky situation. What's the worst thing that could happen? So you start to think through, and it's like, okay, well, the worst thing to happen is this. And then I like to ask a follow-up question. It's like, how likely is that worst thing going to happen? Is it likely? Well, no, not really. I mean, it might, but the probability is pretty tiny. Okay, so now you've just kind of reframed that problem. When you start to train yourself to think that way about, what's the worst thing that could happen? I was making some sales calls last week. I would just say probably not my most favorite thing to do, cold sales calls.
Yeah.
And I asked myself that question before I started dialing the phone, calling up this business owner and wanted to talk to him about what we do. Guy probably doesn't really want to talk to me. And it's going to, you know, stop. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? Well, the worst thing that's going to happen is this guy's going to say, I don't want to talk to you, and I can talk to somebody else. And so you start reframing that in the scope of your whole day. And one person says, I'm not interested really in talking to you. How big a deal is that? Does it end your world? Nope, not even close. And so I really like that as a technique to help build resilience.
Thank you for sharing that. That, I think, is a question that I could have greatly used in the last 2 weeks, probably at work.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to start asking that of myself a little bit more often.
Yeah. And I think too, if you run into people where you can just tell that they're stressed and they're overwhelmed by some situation, be a good listener, but also ask some good questions like that. Well, tell me, what do you think is the worst thing that could happen in this situation? Start training them to think that way. And more than likely, they're going to find out that the thing that they're really fretting over in their head won't happen.
Mm.
And even if it does, it's not that big a deal.
Which I think brings us to the last thing that we have identified as a way to train yourself. And I think is maybe if you are someone who, one, has identified that you struggle with patience and being impatient, is maybe where I would suggest that you start if you are wanting to become a more patient person. And that's to practice patience in small doses.
Yep. Yeah.
Maybe one of the great big mistakes that we make in this current age of instant gratification is that we think if we make one big change at Tuesday at noon, that change is going to be in effect forever moving forward. And I think that we have set New Year's resolutions that, you know, I'm going to exercise for 60 minutes, 5 days of the week for the next entire year. But if you haven't been doing that, the probability that you're going to be able to maintain that exercise regimen or that change that you're going to start on Tuesday at noon is so small. You have to start with a small dose. You have to gradually start building these things into your daily life so that you can incrementally build upon those skills, because that's, you know, what we're ultimately at the end of the day, every podcast that you're listening to about the First Cup of Joe show is a different leadership skill that is a building block to you becoming a great leader. Yeah. This, you practicing patience in small doses, is just one more component of that.
I have a personal challenge for you.
Ooh, okay.
Because I know we were talking before we started the podcast. We were just chit-chatting about some stuff. And I know you're heading out today to go spend some time with friends tonight.
Uh-huh.
And likely you're going to be driving on the freeway there in Seattle.
I am.
Here's my challenge to you in practicing patience in small doses. What I want you to do before you get in, as you get in your car and you're ready to leave, I want you to say to yourself, if somebody does a poor job merging on the on-ramp, I'm going to be patient.
Yep, I can do that.
I'm going to be patient.
I am going to be patient.
And then when you get in that situation where that happens, remind yourself again, I'm going to be patient. And that to me is a real example of practicing patience in small doses.
Mm.
I didn't tell you to never be impatient with another bad merging driver ever for the rest of your life. Today, while you're driving to go see your friends, be patient with people coming on the ramps.
Great. I can do that.
And I think that's what you were saying is, okay, you can do that today. Don't worry about doing it tomorrow or not. Just do it today.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep doing that in that, you know, whatever area you find yourself being impatient, if you start doing what you just said in small doses and you really start to be self-aware and remind yourself, okay, this time when I'm typically impatient today, I'm going to be patient. Going to be patient in that situation and just work at trying to be patient that time. What I've found is if you continually do that, you raise that self-awareness, you practice patience in small doses, pretty soon you find yourself more often than not being patient when you used to shake your fist in rage.
I look forward to that day.
If you're listening and you find yourself like, I'm impatient, changing that, I would say this, is it's really a process rather than an event. And I think you said that, maybe in some different words, is it's not like you just change, if you struggle with being patient in some area of your life, it's probably you're not just going to instantly turn a light bulb on and say, oh, I got that fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take some dedicated practice.
And if you need help with practicing patience or other ways that to become more patient, you can always reach out to us at Level Up Courses.
Love to have that discussion with someone, you know, and really dig into what are those areas where they struggle with patience, and let's talk through that and come up with a strategy for you to start practicing to improve in that and to get better.
There are a multitude of reasons that leaders should care whether they are patient or not. If you want to be a great leader, you also want to be a patient leader, because that's going to make your work environment more positive. You're going to build stronger relationships. You'll likely make better decisions. You'll be better at managing conflicts and challenges as they come up in the workplace or even outside of the workplace. You're going to empower and develop your employees, and then you're going to promote greater innovation and creativity. So really, at the end of the day, patience is one of the key characteristics to great leadership.
Well, that's a great list of things that improving your patience is going to do for you as a leader.
Anything else you want to say, or do you want me to do the outro?
You know, as we wrap up the podcast today, remember the saying that got drilled into Isaiah's head as a 3-year-old. Patience is a virtue.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks for grabbing a cup of Joe with us. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to rate it. And while you're at it, subscribe or follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening from today. Then you can head on over to levelupcourses.co and schedule a time to get on the horn with us. You'll want to grab a free 30-minute session if you're a new leader and feel overwhelmed by your new role, if you're a seasoned leader encountering a new problem that's eating at your time, or if today's topic resonated with you and you want to dive deeper. We want to help you be a great leader, and today's the day to start. So visit us at levelupcourses.co to schedule your free session. As always, keep your mornings early, your coffee cup full, and keep leveling up.